Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Welcome back to episode 111 of the Go Get That podcast. Wow. Crazy to say triple digits. Sometimes can't believe how long we've been doing this. We're getting into the thick of the PGA Tour schedule now. We're in the middle of the Florida swing as we approach the Players Championship.
Gold boy.
But that's for tomorrow or Wednesday. We haven't decided yet, but for now we're recapping, Mr. Iced Tea and Lemonade and his beautiful event over at Bay Hill, which is one of my favorite events on the schedule every year. Even that was one of the only tournaments that I would watch year after year, whether Spieth played or not. And it's just always such a great viewing experience. Such a tough golf course, regardless of the mockery that Scheffler made out of it on the weekend. But, you know, Jordan Spieth had a very subpar performance and not the subpar you want. But I'm not putting too much weight into it. I'll get that right off the bat. I'm excited to hear your thoughts. I was on spring break for Thursday and Friday and I watched more of Thursday than I did of Friday and Sunday. I watched all of Saturday's rounds.
So that was
devastating. But at the same time,
your bad luck.
You know, I'll actually pull up the stats. I haven't updated it. So while you guys are giving your thoughts, I'll go update the tracking stats. That'll be interesting to see. But yeah, it's overall, I think just Jordan said this in the chat while he was playing, like he really had four driver swings that cost him like seven shots. Like he had big misses this week that were not good. He didn't seem like he was in a great spot with his swing going into the week. I don't really like the way the wedge swing looks right now, but, you know, we're just plucking along. I mean, the Players, a place that he's notoriously played so good at. So really excited to see how he bounces back at a comfortable venue. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts.
I think can kind of break this into the four categories of golfing your ball, right? We'll start with off the tee because it's funny. Saturday was terrible.
It's so inconsistent with him off the tee, man.
And it wasn't good. But the other 3 days I thought was pretty good, other than like one swing. I thought, Jordan, I thought this was interesting. He was hitting a lot of draws. There were very few of those cuts that have kind of become the custom shot shape off the tee in recent years. And then I think when he tried to hit some cuts, that's when he hit the snap hooks where he almost went out of bounds twice on 16. And then I think probably deposited one in the water on 6 and maybe 11 as well. But
he added them up. Yeah.
I mean, what'd you make of, because I think in his history, when he's played his best golf, he hits a draw off the tee. But to see the cut not cut and draw is somewhat concerning, I'd say.
It's concerning, you know. Weird week off the tee because he hit a lot of fairways. He was, what, he hit 64% of his fairways, but when he missed, Bob, you said it. I mean, he missed. He lost like six shots and four tee balls. So I think he actually spoke with Rex Hoggard after the round Sunday. Not officially, but he asked him about what happened on 16, and I think he got caught saying it on PGA Tour Live. It's like one swing every round that's like, you know, costing him from playing elite golf, and that's kind of, you know, what happened this week. I mean, he, you know, reins in the few tee balls he lost. He's maybe sitting at like 5 under. Give him six more shots, and it's T6 for the week. Obviously, you can't do that, but yeah, he hit a lot of fairways, but when he missed, the misses were wide. Kind of a disappointing week. I'm actually kind of shocked that Bob isn't a little more, I don't want to say alarmed, but, you know, disappointed. Because,
well,
like,
I guess I'm looking a little more from, I mean, I'm obviously taking many angles in, right? So The thing with Jordan Spieth's performance this week that doesn't alarm me is the fact that recently it's been kind of the same. Like, he's kind of had every, like, he's had the driver and the putter at points, like, throughout the season, right? Like, we've seen the good and the bad of Spieth. I'm not that worried. Where I am a little concerned is, like, the approach numbers are getting pretty bad. Like really bad. But you also can counter that with the fact that you look at where he was in his slump. I mean, this was the worst week I can remember Spieth having score-wise in a while, and he finished middle of the pack. So, like, I'm looking at it from a bunch of different angles, but overall, I think that to be alarmed, I need to see a little bit more of this consistently, because at the end of the day, that 77 on Saturday was just a day that every golfer has. So I'm putting no weight into that, I feel like. I'm putting way more weight into the rounds that are 74 that should have been 69. I don't put much weight into the 77 because that was just a day he did not have it and he was not able to grind out scores like he usually does. It happens, and we're moving on.
I guess, you know, I can counter with the 77 should be a 74 or 72.
Yeah, but the same time, like, if you're shooting a 77, you're clearly just playing really, really bad that day.
That's fair, I guess. I'm just, like,
around
like that.
Like, you can shoot a 73 while playing well.
That's fair. I guess I'd just say, you know, the 77 should be a one-time
and both and both sides are fair. Both sides are very fair. And I do believe that if we see a 77 at TPC Sawgrass this week, that is cause for alarm.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't really continue to add up those large scores. They take you out of the tournament. Yeah. That's the problem. Like a 74, you're still in it with a 74.
I agree. I think that it's just such an interesting, because recently we've seen Spieth struggle at courses he's historically played well at. He hasn't played Pebble well in a few years. He hasn't played Colonial well in 2 years. Like, it's weird seeing those courses that, I mean, a lot of people would have put straight up money on Spieth finishing top 7 or 8 this week. But you also look at the fact that right now he's still strokes gain wise playing like a top 10 player in the world, which is weird to me, or at least on the PGA Tour, but which is weird to me. But at the same time, I feel like you got to look at it in a lot of context, because what does that 69 on Thursday really mean? I only watched really the front nine. So I saw he struggled on 8 and 9 very much both days of the first of the week. But he led the field in birdies after what, Friday?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen without having something there. Like, that wasn't happening in Spieth's slump. Jordan, I know you find it way more frustrating not being able to par hard par fours versus not being able to birdie easy par, like par fives. I know that your big thing is he can't par hard holes. That continues to be a struggle.
Yeah, I guess the thing, though, like, this is what he does at Augusta. I mean, he's going to, you know, he's probably going to be top five at, you know, in birdies at Augusta this year. But the problem is he just makes too many errors.
The thing about Augusta with Spieth is in recent years, he has not gone a tournament without a double plus.
Yeah.
He's had a big number, usually multiple, at a lot of the recent Masters tournaments. I mean, you look at that triple bogey he made a few years ago when Hideki won. I mean, he doesn't make that triple out of the trees on 9. He might be in a very different situation come Sunday afternoon. So, I mean, those are the types of shots that you remember as fans like we do. Like, I'm sure you remember that 9th hole on whether it was Thursday or Friday, I forget, but I'm sure you remember. Like, hit 2 out of the trees because he couldn't take his medicine and then 3 putted from 5 feet. It was just, those are the holes he needs to avoid come the Masters. And I do think it's as simple as that. I think that's how close he is. So we'll see what this week looks like. I'm not going to put too much weight into it until I see what this week is like. But for now, you guys watched more of this week than I did, so I'll let you guys counter that with your thoughts on what you saw this 72 holes.
Yeah, I think there's as many great swings as there are in the bag. And I think there are. Jordan and I talked about it on the preview. He's been a lot better with the long irons this year. He's been pretty darn good off the tee. but I kind of alluded to the fact that he's making bogeys with a pitching wedge in his hand from the middle of the fairway, like nine iron gap wedge, right? What was his he's in the ninth percentile in terms of proximity from 100 to 150 on PGA Tour.
Yeah,
the update.
Coming into the, yes, I would love the update. It's probably what, 12% now.
What was it, 100 to 150?
Yeah, because I think he had
he's
a
up
couple
to
good shots on,
he's up to
on Sunday. There we go, improvement. Pop it up, Jay Spieth got
congrats
a little bit
Spieth.
Better from 100 to 150 this past week at the API. Yeah, and that's the issue, right? It's making bad bogeys,
right?
It's not like sometimes, like long par four, say number nine, when it's playing into the wind at API, it's a long par four, kind of dog leg left, tough green.
And that's
you hit
just
it in the rough. If you hit it in the rough, you're just not getting it to the green. So
yeah.
If you make a bogey because you hit it 3 yards offline out of the fairway, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But
but those are the times where it needs to be bogeys and not doubles.
Yeah, but he didn't yeah. make any of his doubles there. He
oh no,
made...
I know. I'm just saying in general he has done that in recently.
Right. No, agreed.
He pumped
and
out
I think
his
yeah. And to that point though, like on the flip side of that, number 13 is like a 360-yard par 4 and he hit it in the fairway and then he promptly put a wedge in the onto the rocks and into the water. That just cannot happen. It just
Ever.
Can't. And
Ever.
I understand that it did happen because we saw Xander do it actually earlier in the week. And I'm sure Spieth was not the only guy to deposit a golf ball into the water on 13. But your misses cannot be that bad. Granted, he did save bogey. I do think the wedge play looked a little bit better this week as
yeah.
a whole.
Yep. And you know, this is
some seriously sloppy, just the really, really bad shots
were really
are
bad.
They have to be concerning.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's very fair. But I do think, like, the thing I love about this tournament, the thing I love about Jordan playing this tournament is that, like, this is a challenging golf course. There are not many challenging golf courses on the PGA Tour that challenge you both mentally and physically. Augusta is another one of those. Regardless of the fact that the scores can get low, you have to think your way around that golf course completely. You don't really have to think your way around TPC Twin Cities. You know what I mean? So I do think that this is the only course, whether you think Sawgrass is or not, based on the way the water comes in play on a lot of holes, is up for debate. But he didn't play Torrey. And I think that this is really the only course with that mental challenge that he's going to play before Augusta. So that is concerning.
And I think he didn't pass.
Like
he did not do well against the mental challenge. He talks about
no, he
having
didn't.
Patience.
He didn't.
In major
Valspar is not easy. I want to give
moments.
That's
yeah,
true.
Copper,
That's
the
true. I completely
course
forgot
is a
that
test.
Valspar was before. Yeah.
I think Sawgrass. Sawgrass doesn't play.
Yeah.
Sawgrass
yeah,
plays
I know.
Far.
Yeah.
When I would say there's a different. The API is maybe a little bit more stressful because if you know you start every hole with a driver and there's rough, you know you hit it in the rough and it's like
yeah.
The
I guess
it,
I more was thinking about like taking your medicine. There's not as much taking your medicine at courses on tour than there is at like Bay Hill and the Masters.
Yeah, I agree.
Like there's
with that.
Like there's
fair.
A lot of positions at Augusta where you have to take your medicine with the way that the green complexes work.
Yeah.
So that was more my point.
Yeah, I'm curious, Jordan, what you thought of some of the. I don't know if you would picked it up on the PGA Tour Live where he would hit a shot with an iron and it would go a gajillion miles right. And he'd say, man, I've tried to just swing out of my shoes on an 8 iron or whatever it is all the time. And I just cannot get it to turn over. And I don't know. You know what your thoughts are on hearing that, but that to me is like, dude, like, what are you doing? You've tried this 3 times now, and every time you're blocking an 8 iron probably 15 yards right of your target, which at the tour level is just not, it's part of the reason these bad bogeys keep like occurring.
I mean, that's why he's in the 13th percentile, then.
Yeah, but it's a, but it's with an 8-iron, right? That's not from 100 to 150.
Yeah.
He had 2 weeks off to, you know, correct this stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, this, you also got to look at, like, so the weekend, right? Like, I did not watch enough of Sunday to really know how that round happened. But for, like, for all intents and purposes, like, strokes gain wise, like, that canceled out the round before.
Yeah.
He essentially played the weekend
even
for the field.
Yeah, agreed.
Which is weird to think about. Like, I don't really think that's a fair way of, because he did gain strokes this week, didn't he? Or no? Yeah, like, definitely had to.
Half a shot or something.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was gonna say it played definitely harder than one over par, but you also have to look at it like our expectations should be higher than the average of a field at a PGA event.
Yeah, so. Just a little. But that's kind of like where I guess my disappointment stems from this week. I kind of penned him in to play really well this week. So it's kind of tough to swallow a T31. I mean, I really thought he was going to play good golf this week. I kind of banked on him playing well here. You know, you don't have, I guess, house money at Sawgrass. I mean, it's a big event. You want to play well there. But like, I kind of got accustomed to saying he's going to play well at API. He's going to play well at Valspar. Players will go okay, and I'll feel pretty good. And now it's like he kind of has to play some decent golf at Sawgrass, because if he doesn't, you're looking at this three-week stretch of saying played poorly at API, played poorly at Sawgrass, and then you have Valspar left, and you're like, the Masters is right around the corner, and we, you know, haven't done a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, you're very fair in saying that. Like, one of your goals at the start of the season was deep contention before the API, like, and like twice you said, I believe, like, and I think he's really only been in the conversation.
You're being generous with whatever number you give.
I know
you can make a case that Century wasn't really like deep
control. No, I don't.
He was there at the Century.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That was a good tournament.
If he doesn't plug in the lip on 16,
that's
like
you're thinking he's gonna
birdie 18.
Yeah, he was in deep contention on the back nine on Sunday. I will give him that. But
never
but
had
the answer,
the lead. But
the answer is one though. Like at this point in the stage, you're thinking he should be in the conversation more than that. So
yeah. I guess he was there. Technically, he was there early Sunday morning at Phoenix because he had just made two birdies leading into the end of the round.
Technicalities here.
Yeah, I mean, when I would say he was in deep contention when he finished his third round, like when he or second round, like going into the weekend, he was in deep contention.
Yeah.
When I went to bed Saturday night, I was not
really
like, no,
he was four back and he had just finished birdie.
Well, it wasn't I mean Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like it what hole were they, what hole did
your,
they
reserve? Yeah, your odds at four back are so slim.
Yeah, like I don't on. Consider four. I want to be
there. Scheffler was five back on Saturday.
Yeah, that's Scheffler.
Okay. But my point is like you can still win a tournament being four back. And I don't even think he was four back of the guy who actually won.
He wasn't, but Chuck Hoffman played the best round of golf I've ever seen out of anyone in my life.
No, he was tied with Chuck Hoffman.
Yeah.
And then Chuck Hoffman played amazing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that.
But
like,
he also shot 19 under on Sunday. He shot like, what, like, it was like an absurd number.
Yeah, I agree, but He
shot like
14 playing.
Under in like a 19-hole stretch.
Spieth would have needed to turn on the dang jets to catch up.
Yeah,
I agree. But to say in that moment that he's not in contention, he's literally solo fifth at that point.
I guess because there was 27 holes left,
and
I'm a big putt.
I'm being kind of, you know, facetious about the Sunday morning thing because like the third round has it by the end of the third round, he's not in contention. honestly, by the time he plays three holes on, or sorry, plays four holes on Sunday, he's Sunday morning, he's not in contention because he doesn't make birdie at the par five. And then he plays that back nine and even par. And it's like, all right, you're just out of contention here. Eight
but,
back on into whatever the final.
I mean,
round, six,
regardless of the debate, like, there has not been enough Sunday contention yet this year for what
Agreed.
Needs to happen.
Which is sad because his three Sunday scores are 65, 67, 69.
He's been playing well on Sunday this year.
He's put together some good Sundays recently. It's been about a year of decent Sundays. They're just never meaningful. Like Valspar,
yeah.
The first 15 holes of Valspar last year was about as perfect as a Sunday could have gone. And then, of course, the ultimate wipe right. It was a great bogey save, great shot on 17, weak putt. Anyway, Sunday at Augusta, what was that, 66? 66. Great round there. Yeah. And then I can't think of any other ones because he wasn't really relevant the rest of Sunday at Heritage, literally the next week. Great
we
Sunday.
We still have what? We still have three more tournaments until the Masters, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, for me,
putting together good Sundays. Just
I'm basically
to, like,
crossing off
the
players.
I'm not. He's winning this week.
Yeah, no. I'm not. I'm not there. I may say I'm not worried, but I'm not there. But, I mean, obviously, it's weird, the Houston Valero thing, because I do believe that it's just such a tough decision from a chances to win standpoint, because I think Houston would benefit. I think that would fit him more. But at the same time, he could play his A game and lose there. Whereas he plays his A game at the Valero, he almost certainly wins. So it's weird. I've been saying this, like, regardless of the fact that he won Valero, he played ridiculous that week. Like, he played extremely well. That is not a course that I typically like him going into Augusta with at all. I don't think it necessarily fits his game that well, and it's definitely not a good prep for Augusta, which Houston is. Unless they change the course, because the Houston course they've been playing is very difficult.
Yeah.
So I personally want to see him go to Houston. I do.
I think we all do.
I know Karp's been saying that he must counter with Valero.
I want him to play Houston. I just don't think it's going to happen the more I think about it. I think he'll play, what, 3 week off, three instead of 4 week off.
Did he skip Valero last year, right? Yeah.
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 Because he finished abysmal in his title defense, right?
Well, he didn't play.
T58.
Well, yeah, he hit it great and lost like five shots putting on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
Or for
it
the
was
week.
Impressive.
No, for the week, I think he lost like seven. And if he putts even, I think he's finishes one back or two back or something like that.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
Speaking of the putter, it was pretty good this week.
It's not the problem. I'm officially deeming it not the problem. Like, yeah. I don't think it's a problem at all.
Oh, it's, it's a problem.
It's still,
I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm saying it's not the problem.
Yeah.
He's not losing golf tournaments because of the putter right now.
The problem is we're adding up problems.
Very true.
Yes. Well, and mainly the iron play is just not good enough.
The
iron the short game was not very good this week for his standards.
Yeah.
He left a lot out there, I think.
I agree.
And that's kind of like, I have a hunch.
He left a lot of like 30-yard pitches, like horribly bad.
Yeah. And I think to me that is the 2 weeks off mechanically working on his swing so that he can turn the ball from right to left on a driver and an iron shot.
Yeah, and it also helps because, like, at the end of the day, all of his misses this week around the greens were well short. So at least his misses were all the same. Like, yeah. I'm pretty confident he will get that part of his game cleaned up for probably this week even.
Yeah, that's why he's winning this week.
Yeah, well, let's...
The newfound putter... Some better confidence around the greens. He stripes it around Sawgrass. I'll save it for Wednesday. But
yeah, well, if he hits the ball into the greens like he has this week, he's probably playing the last three holes in seven over par one of the days. because he's been missing very badly with the irons that you just can't do.
Yeah, there's been
like
a
right
lack
now,
of.
I have no confidence in him hitting the green on 16 and coming in with a long iron. I have not enough confidence of him keeping a dry on 17. And 18, you're really just not a good miss.
18 could be an adventure.
Yeah.
It could.
Like, after seeing those hooks on 16.
Which is exciting. Yeah. Well, yeah, but I don't. So it's funny because the hooks on 16, I think he was trying to hit a fade, which makes it worse almost, right? Like, I think he's trying to curve it with the hole, and he's just double crossing the crap out of it, and it's a worse miss than anybody on tour just has. That's what's so impressive is that his floor, he hits some of the worst shots on tour.
Yeah.
Like, regardless, like out of all the guys that have a tour card, you could say Jay Spieth hits some of the worst shots there. But then he also counters it with some of the best shots you've ever seen.
Some of the drives that he hits are just so far offline.
Yeah.
What'd they say? The OB on 16 was like 30 yards left of the fairway.
Yeah, and nobody had gone OB in two seasons, and he almost did it twice in the same tournament.
Yeah.
Like, plus, she had the early ask for the ball on six.
Yeah, that was interesting because I wasn't watching, but I saw the screenshot. And he hit it 182 mile per hour ball speed.
Yeah, the shape really wasn't bad.
It really was
line.
Not a bad golf swing. I just don't think he judged, like, either the distance, the wind,
or something.
He took it on Rory's line, which he's not Rory.
Yeah.
Well, I think also he was trying to peel
he
it
might
a
be
little
kind
more
of Rory right.
Now. Like, he started it on the Rory line and was trying to peel it a little more right, and it just didn't peel enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't come close.
Was it four balls on the water this week?
Let's see. T-ball on six. Three. Approach on 13.
Yep.
Was there one on 11?
11.
11. I forgot about that one.
I think that's it.
Three.
Then the OB on 16.
16.
I mean,
taking the
basically,
over under on 2.5 for Sawgrass.
Well, it depends on how many rounds he plays.
Well, if he's only playing two, there might be a good chance to go.
That's a fair point, but he's also winning. I've already declared that. So,
yeah, I don't know. I'm not going into this week with any expectations. I really just kind of want to see how he uses last week to decide and see how he plays this week after what happened.
I agree. I think I said it in my story. You have to take what you did on Friday, which was a very, very good round, and go put that out, you know, and play Thursday. The round on Sunday wasn't meaningless. It's meaningless if he thinks it's meaningless, because there was a lot of good stuff that happened on Sunday.
He grinded on Sunday.
He could really take and go, you know, carry that into Sawgrass. So that's what, you know, good players do. You go out early on Sunday. I mean, Straka shot 80. I'm sure he's not taking anything from that, but Jay Spieth can really take something from the 3-under on Sunday.
Sunday was interesting because I think he could have easily been side of 369. I think he could have easily been even par, but just as easily have been 6-under. Like, it was that kind of day where it was like the scorecard looks steady other than the freaking 6 on the par 5 after you've split the middle of the fairway.
Driver off the deck.
But big long putt on 1. Couple of nice saves. 17, 16 was a nice save. There was another nice save early. I think 3 when he just, from again, middle of the fairway, it's like, what, 130 yards, hits it, and then just like says, go in. And you just hear Robert Dameron say, that's the worst shot he's hit all week. And it just plugs in the bunker 25 yards right at the target with a wedge. And you're like, dude, how is that? That just can't be in the bag. That's in my bag, but I'm a 6 handicap. Like,
yeah,
I'm not. And then he still shoots a 69 anyway, or he saves par anyway. It's like, Jesus, dude, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
He's like, sometimes he just plays like a puppy, man. Like, the course IQ is just so bad sometimes.
It's like almost like, I just don't know how it gets that bad. Like, I saw it firsthand in Phoenix. There were some things he did that I just I couldn't believe it. Like, they were decisions that I wouldn't even have to think about. And I'm only a fucking, like, 2 handicap. So, like, it's absurd. Like, not even just the laying up in the water. The way he played 16 at Phoenix all week. Like, it's just like, man. Like, just some of the decisions are so obvious and right in front of him.
I'm trying to remember what hole it was this week. It was one of the tougher holes. He hits a beautiful drive down the fairway, and he thinks he's getting thrown a bone because he hit the fairway, and he can, you know, go and attack and still not try and play smart to the middle of the green. He misses the green and makes a bogey. Like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, and that's what makes Brooks so good. You hit a fairway, you're 200 yards out, you hit to the center of the green, you make a four, and you move on. It's like he sometimes will think, oh, I hit the fairway, I can really start to get aggressive here, and that's when he gets in trouble as well. Yeah. Like, he doesn't know how to take his medicine sometimes, which we obviously do. But it's just...
Which is crazy because of the way he plays Augusta, right? Like, there's so many... Like, there's no course in the world like Augusta where you can have an 130-yard shot and should not be going for the pin. Like, just the way those green complexes work. So, it is weird how, like... That works. Like, remember that week at Augusta, he birdied 10 all 4 days?
Yeah, 21.
Like, one of them was a chip in.
Yep.
And the first round was just a pin. You just don't attack. Like, the fact that he put that to 10 feet was absurd. Like, it never should have been within 20 feet of the pin. But I guess that's
kind of the game that he plays, right?
Yeah. And it's annoying. But.
It is.
Hey,
annoying.
If he's fine leading the field in birdies and leading in bogeys, I mean, that's not going to win anything. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, too, because coming into this week, at least on Thursday on the PGA Tour live broadcast, he was like top 5, I think, in bogey avoidance. One of the better on the season. Granted, a lot of very few rounds, but it's like, yeah, he had, you know, done a good job of limiting the bogeys that he's had. And then this week he comes in and, you know, 11 bogeys through, I don't know. There was one point where I had 11 birdies and 11 bogeys. And then I think he finished with 15-ish bogeys. And that's crazy.
It's tough to win.
Yeah, and just, he was still one over.
What was he after the weekend? I mean, the week, Thursday, Friday this week?
After Thursday, Friday, he was one under. No.
And how many back was that? 7, 8?
Six.
Okay.
Lowry.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's not as bad as I thought it was originally, but I just, the way I look at it is like leading the field in birdies and not being within 3 shots of the lead is something that should happen once every 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, you should never make that many birdies at that hard of a golf course and be sitting almost over par.
Well, Thursday was kind of tough in that regard because the 7, 8, 9 stretch with 2 3-putts in there was a brutal way to – it was a good bounce back on the back nine, come home and 3 under. Although, did he bogeyed 16 on Thursday, yeah, because that was the OB.
Yeah, bounce, yeah. But he made birdie on his second ball, yeah.
And so it's like, dude, you don't 3-putt twice and you just keep it on the earth on 16 –
You're making five.
I think he actually played.
And there's a 60. There's your first round lead right there. Yeah. It's like, come on. Oh my goodness. It's a freaking roller coaster every darn week. And it says it's going to get cleaned up. But that's, I guess, kind of why we sit here and think about it so much, just because it's freaking addicting. And when the few times that it actually like doesn't go, it just keeps going up and it doesn't go down very far. It's like it's building anticipation of.
Yeah,
of
that is what sucks. Is his game is so addicting to watch.
Yeah.
Like it is legitimately like there, like the Jordan Spieth experience is not something that like is untrue by any means. Like the man, the way the man got to where he was helped promote like if he like, it's just, he does things that other players don't do. Because regardless of how he's playing, like, he does have enormous talent. Like, he can do things that 2-3 players in the world only can do. which is what's unfortunate about the fact that he doesn't win as much as he probably should. And a lot of that comes down to making too many bogeys.
Yeah, I
funny because he could lead. Sorry, he could lead off on Thursday at Sawgrass with a 2-under, and it could very easily be 2 birdies or 3 birdies and 1 bogey because sometimes the rounds are very just like flat. But he could also shoot 2-under with 8 birdies and 6 bogeys,
and that's there's just or 8 birdies, 4 bogeys, and 2 doubles.
Right. I mean, yeah. it's there's any amount of birdies and it's probably just going to add up to a 69 or a 70 anyway. Yeah.
And that's Scott had 7 bogeys.
Scott had what?
7 bogeys.
7 bogeys for Adam or for Scheffler.
Yes.
Beath had that in 2 days.
Yeah,
it is tough to compare to Scheffler because that dude is so clearly the best player in the world. But, like, that's, you know, if you want to win the big tournaments, you got to beat the big dogs. And right now, Spieth is barely beating, you know, I don't want to throw any names out there, but just look at some of the folks he beat at the API, and it's not actually like that impressive of a list. Anyway,
you just hope that we can build off the last two events, which one's DQ T30. So,
yeah, right. Well, it's funny because he was DQ after leading the tournament through 9 holes, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if someone told me after the 77, at least he signed the correct scorecard this week.
Yeah, right.
We're making progress.
So, it's we'll see. Because you're right, Sunday was a good day. Sunday was a very good day. It's just about stringing together a bunch of Sundays, I think, is the way to put it.
Yeah.
And I know there's going to be days where there's more flash and there's more 20-foot bombs and there's going to be days where the putts don't drop as well, but...
And that happens.
It really just boils down to, the putts you're giving yourself for birdie, or are they for par or worse? And just comes from iron play. And I don't have a lot of faith in some of the iron shots to at least like the misses just aren't small enough. They're just not small enough at the moment.
No, and those points are all very, very summing up of how the recent weeks have gone. So, do we have anything else for this episode?
That's all I got.
Maybe we could update the
triple double. Yeah, I'm in last.
Triple double or the tracker status.
Oh, okay. So do you want strokes gained and scores?
Sure.
Because Ryan leads the scoring average by a good amount, but that's just because he didn't have to track this week. So, and every other tournament has been pretty low scoring. The way I'm looking at it, like scoring average is pretty even. Ryan's minus 3.67. Nick is minus 2.48. I'm minus 3.19. But strokes gained is a lot more telling. And it's nice to see all green, which means not only is the tracking good, it means Spieth's playing pretty good.
Yeah.
It would not be fun if we were just comparing who had the better of the reds.
Yeah.
But, like yeah, contest. So Ryan leads 1.2 per 18. Okay. So he gains a shot 0.2 per 18. Then it's me at 1.08 and then Nick at 0.99.
Okay. It's a good battle.
So Spieth is averaging about a shot around, if that helps.
It's too low.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sums up to a T26. That's kind of how that goes, but
yeah, for sure.
It'll lead to a solo one this week, so I'm not too
sure. Sure, yeah, we'll go with that.
Be appreciated.
It would be very appreciated.
Could you imagine if he's holding Golden Boy come Sunday? Golf's Gold Boy lifts Golf's Gold Boy.
That is a question. That should be on the docket for the players episode. Will we see Golden Boy back on PGA Tour Live hitting shots into 17?
I don't know. I hope so.
He was sick last year, I heard. I heard he was out sick, so he didn't show up last year, but we'll see. But
We
yeah,
shall see.
triple double.
Yes, I believe you were leading, Mr. Bob.
Really? I did have a good week 2 weeks ago, I know that.
Yeah. Well, I also put up a
Oh
zero
wow.
ball at the cog, so that I put up some
Holy moly, Dan. Yeah, that's a bad week at the COG.
put up some Tony
Have
Snell numbers
you
there.
used any
But
players twice yet? No.
what's up? No. But
I had a
I think
good,
this week I will.
yeah, I had a good week at the, I had a good, I have not put up a zero since the Phoenix, so that's good.
Yeah, Zalatoris was a nice paycheck this week.
He
That's
was
kind of
very nice
separated us
paycheck.
from Jordan, but
Yeah, list was a tough week.
yeah.
I had a lot of cash. All he had to do was beat Ricky Fowler, and he couldn't do it. Very
Thanks
unfortunate.
for Rory and Hovland going a combining for 151 on Sunday. That's a brutal way to 75, 76 for the pair.
Holy. Yeah, that is not
Not good.
good.
Two
That
big names you lost
robbed
for
you
the
of a lot
end.
of cash.
I did. Well, Rory was T8 and Hovland was like T16 entering Sunday, and they both finished. Rory beat Spieth by two, and Hovland lost to Spieth. So it's like, oh my goodness. And I wasted that. And
Well, now you gotta get rid of good players because this is a big week. It's a big
of
purse.
course, I thought about playing Scheffler again, but I told this to Jordan. I was like, I can't use him twice already, but the 4 milli would have been pretty nice.
He was on my. I should have used him at API.
Yeah, I can't believe you haven't used Scheffler yet.
I wrote his name down to use at API, and I didn't use him. It's
Kiss,
unfortunate.
kiss, kiss.
Well,
Great course history course too. Matt
happens.
Every won there twice. Gary Coke won there twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woods
Mr.
won there eight
Woods,
times.
8 times.
Like, it's dudes. Who is the caddy for Bryson and then Kitayama? He's won there twice. Tim Tucker.
Big
Like,
Tim Tucker.
big Tim Tucker.
Speaking
Tim
of
Tucker does love it.
caddies, did you
Like they.
see who Sepp Straka has on the bag?
Yes, Dwayne Bach, right?
Big Dwayne
Them
Bach.
Cavs,
No
man.
way. Really? Hey, he's
Yeah,
got
because
Kisner's
Kiz
caddy.
is retired. But
That's
he should still make
sick.
the President's Cup this team this year, right, Bob?
What?
What? Kisner should still be on the President's Cup team this year.
Well, we'll see how he does in the booth at the players.
Okay.
And then we'll make the decision from there.
Yeah, he might be at the President's Cup just in the booth.
Well, he could. Let's not count him out of the team yet.
I mean, he hasn't made a cut since 2023.
Well, but Spieth hasn't won a tournament in 2 years, so let's not use
Okay,
past to
but
determine the present.
fair enough. But Spieth's made a cut recently. I
Well,
don't
that's
even think
fair.
I think Kisner missed. No, he was there this weekend, right? Or no?
All I know is that Kisner was very upset that the match play tournament was stripped from the schedule. And, I don't think he's fully recovered mentally. I think his mental health is not in a good spot because of that. So
Kisner
I
played
think.
last weekend
Did he
at
really?
Puerto Rico? He played in Puerto Rico, missed the cut.
Yes, that's what I
Nice.
thought.
Nice.
Him and Paul Azinger have made the same amount of dollars on the golf course this year.
Last time
Zeros.
Kisner made the cut was a sole 78th at the RSM.
What
A
about before then?
T51 at the Chicken Box.
Oh my God. So that was in
Yeah.
October.
And then a T62 at the Fortnite.
So when's the last time he finished inside the top 40?
The match play.
Oh no. That's not even winning his group. When's that at a stroke play event?
Hero 2022.
Hero of 22?
Yeah,
Well, that
it's been a
doesn't count either.
struggle. It's
There's
been
not 40 players there.
it's been a struggle.
Can you keep going?
I mean, he had a T40 at Pebble last year.
Okay, so Kevin Kisner hasn't
Congrats
capped
to Kisner on
a
that.
top 40 ticket since Pebble of 23.
Hey, I have not ruled out Kisner at St. Andrews in 2031 or whenever the next time they play it is, because
That's
you get
fair.
that man on a short course and you never know.
Yeah,
That's a
when
fair
he's
point.
like 4,000th in the world.
Yeah, but you know, sponsors exemption, qualifying. I mean, if Mickelson can do it at 50, Kisner can do it at 65.
Yeah, Kisner, local qualifier. I see.
He could, yeah, or he could just be like the special. He could be such a special guest or member of the one club that he just gets an invite.
Yeah. Anytime.
I like the way you think.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's all I got. I have to go, but
that's all we got.
Yeah.
See y'all for
we
the
will
players.
See you either tomorrow or for a live on Wednesday. We'll see.
Yep.
Take care.
Sounds good.